Before we start, I would like to thank Anchor for helping us with our podcast. Anchor distributes your podcast to other websites, and it helps you edit and record your podcast with friends, and you can do a lot with the app. So thank you before we start. But welcome to the SSTN podcast. I'm Joe with my co-host Sam, and we talk about sports weekly. We want to do this weekly, preferably on Thursdays, but the weekdays might change up sometimes. But we talk about sports, and we do we just do debates and topics, and we want to be sports broadcasters in the field. So let's start off with the news. As you, if you didn't know, SSTN stands for Start Spreading the News. So let's start off by saying Antonio Brown says he has found a version of his old helmet and is returning to the Oakland Raiders. Sam, what do you have to say on this whole Antonio Brown situation?
It's very interesting, as Antonio Brown had that whole argument about his helmet that lasted for a while. We were wondering, he even said he was going to consider retirement after that. So what people don't know is that the NFL mandated this about, like, they set this in stone about 5 years ago, where they said that they were going to change up the helmets about the safety and stuff like that. And Antonio Brown comes out now and was complaining. I think it's a good thing that he resolved this quickly, but I don't really know, because it's Antonio Brown and there's drama with every corner with them.
Yes, definitely agree with that. Antonio Brown, I mean, he's obviously looked a little cocky, and he's kind of hurt his reputation a little bit. But other receivers said they love the helmet, so it's a weird, weird situation. But next up, we got the New York Giants owner, John Mara, says it would be ideal if Eli Manning played all 16 games. Sam, what do you have to say on this?
I am a Giants fan, and I completely disagree with John Mara here. I am humiliated. I'm embarrassed that this is the words coming out of John Mara. I do not want to see Eli Manning for another season. I think he is cooked. I think he is way beyond his playing years. I'm just baffled. I feel that Daniel Jones should start week one. I feel like he's shown us through his preseason game that he can be an NFL starting quarterback. I do not enjoy Eli Manning throwing like only like 3 yards, maybe once every drive. He's cooked. I don't believe that the Giants will go anywhere with him as their quarterback.
I don't know if Daniel Jones should start week one. I don't know if I agree completely. Eli Manning is the vet. But at the end of the day, Daniel Jones, even though he did have a perfect drive, he went against the Jets preseason team. And at the end of the day, I don't know how much I trust Daniel Jones. But moving on, Bo Bichette is the only player ever to record 15 extra base hits in his first 15 games. So what do you feel about this Blue Jays young core with Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr.? They're building a nice young team.
It's very interesting. Everyone was hyping up the Blue Jays. They're saying they're the best farm system or young talent coming up, and starting to show. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., as we know, had the record for most home runs hitting the Derby ever with, I think, 91 he hit. That just shows he's something special. He's a very gifted hitter, and even Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette's been very underrated because of the hype that Vlad Guerrero Jr. has gotten, but Bo Bichette can be an all-caliber starting shortstop in this league.
Yeah, I agree with that, and like, but at the end of the day, the Toronto Blue Jays, it's like every year people are hyping up on them to be like, oh, they're gonna be great, they're gonna be a playoff team, but it never ever happened. So that's why I don't believe too much in this Blue Jays team. Obviously, in a division with the Yankees and the Red Sox seem to be good every other year, like really good every other year. But it's a lot of there's some competitors.
It's definitely not complete. The Blue Jays definitely need some help. They definitely need to shore up that pitching. But you got to remember, these people are rookies. They also got Kevin Biggio, who's shown potential. They have potential trade candidates that they can move in Justin Smoke. They just moved Marcus Stroman for a good amount of prospects that they got back from the New York Mets that should help them in the future. I just think because they're just rookies, you have to understand this. They got to wait at least 2 or 3 years before we can start saying they're going to be competitive. But I like what I'm seeing so far out of this young core.
Yeah, they did lose Stroman. But coming up next on, the Team USA loses in a stunning blowout scrimmage to a select team of, quote, comprised of fringe NBA players. So, let me talk about this. When we saw this Team USA roster, we were like, really? And then we all thought it was bad. I mean, they do have Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Chris Middleton, Jaylen Brown. But those are not the types of players you expect to see on Team USA. You know, a couple years back, like, Coach K coaching, you got, like, the best version of Melo. You had LeBron James. You had a bunch of good players. But CJ McCollum even spoke about of why players don't want to play for Team USA. But the thing is with this, I mean, yeah, even though – I mean, it's not. It doesn't look like the greatest team. We have to know who the team compromised, the fringe NBA players are. Is it like Wayne Selden, or is it like players like a good sixth man on a team? Like, we really don't know who it is. But at the end of the day, I don't think the Team USA team is that bad. Because if you had Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, and Chris Middleton in your starting lineup, that's two All-Stars, and then you had Jaylen Brown as your sixth man, that's not a bad team to me. I think that would be a playoff team in the regular NBA. So I think there's even though it's a downgrade from last time's Team USA, I still think it's an okay team. What do you think?
It's very interesting because, Team USA, like, it seems like every hour there's somebody who's quitting the team and dropping out of the team. It's very – I don't know, because Team USA, it's just so convoluted. It's just also the fact that who wants to actually play for Team USA? Who wants to be in the FIBA Basketball World Cup? Like,
if you look at it, if, like, especially guys like Kemba Walker and De'Aaron Fox's personality, if you know them, you know that they're, like, very, like, involved. They're involved in the community, and, like, they're, like, not afraid, like, to like, say their thoughts and, like, go on social media, but not in a bad way. I would feel like a guy is like Pascal Siakam, who's actually from America, those types of personalities would play for the Team USA team. But LeBron is like, well, I just want to get a title with AD. So, he really can't focus on Team USA right now. So there's, like, a lot of, like, Kawhi, Paul George, they're going for the title. They can't focus on Team USA. And Paul George especially can't go to Team USA, and we all know why, that leg injury playing for them.
Yep.
Yeah, so
what I was just about to say.
Next up is honestly devastating news that I was surprised to hear today. DeMarcus Cousins suffers a torn ACL this offseason. And I was a huge believer in this Lakers team, but I actually think now the Clippers are clear-cut title favorites after this ACL tear. Cousins is now proven to be injury-prone. I ranted on how DeMarcus Cousins was only making $3.5 million this year and was being disrespected in free agency, which he was, but maybe teams, like, knew that he had, like, maybe a vulnerable ACL. So, like, we really don't know about that stuff, but it's devastating after Marcus Cousins suffered a torn ACL.
It's also because of that horrible Achilles injury he just suffered last year. That was swaying teams a lot. This is why a lot of teams are swayed by the Knicks, swayed by Kevin Durant. Achilles tears, you don't come back from them. It's not a very good injury to have.
100%.
Like I explained last podcast, the only player that has ever come back somewhat of their star self was Dominique Wilkins. And I want to just point out, everyone who listened to the last podcast, I am sorry for saying that Colin Kaepernick was on the Dolphins. That was an error of mine. I apologize right now. I wanted to get that out there.
Yep, I called him out for that on Twitter. But speaking of Twitter, make sure to follow us at SSTN Podcast. Like, we will post links in the future that you can click on. And if you have an Anchor account, you can send us questions and we will be glad to answer them, as well as we are happy to announce that our podcasts are now available on Breaker and Google Podcasts. So we're getting on more and more platforms, and we hope for this to be a successful podcast. But moving on to topic two, last week we did a game of yes or no, and this week we're doing it again. So we're starting off. So last week we did the NFL playoffs on teams on the border making the NFL playoffs. Yes or no, will they make it? So it's only fitting that today we do the NBA playoffs. So starting off with the Dallas Mavericks, will they make the NBA playoffs?
The Dallas Mavericks will not make the NBA playoffs. I believe they have a great team, especially if Porzingis comes back full health, even though he had that crazy ACL tear. The ACL tear, leg injuries are not good for very tall people. We've seen in the past, Ralph Sampson had his career completely destroyed by leg injuries. But I am a firm believer. I was a huge Kristaps Porzingis fan when he was a New York Knick. I believe that he and Luka Doncic will be a great young pair. I just don't think it's enough right now to make – with so many teams in the Western Conference, even more than last year, there's going to be so many good teams. You got to think. You got – they're going to have to compete with the Kings, the Trailblazers, the Warriors will definitely make it into the playoffs, the Clippers, the Lakers. There's the Nuggets, the Jazz.
Yeah. Okay. We get it, but that's for later in the yes or no, okay, bud? But yeah, so well, you said the Warriors are making the playoffs. So let me just say my opinion on that. So yes, I don't think the Mavericks will make the playoffs. I think they're a borderline playoff team. I think Luka and Porzingis can be one of the best international duos, if not the best international NBA duo of all time. But at the end of the day, Golden State Warriors, as I say, they do make the playoffs, especially depending on when Klay Thompson comes back, because I believe Klay Thompson can play the three, D'Lo can play the two, and I believe that would be a stacked team. Steph Curry will obviously put up monster numbers this year, especially for the first half, only playing with D'Lo and Draymond. And D'Lo and Draymond, what are they both known for? They're passing. And I think Steph Curry can play more off-ball this year. Obviously, he's an incredible ball handler as well. So I do think this Golden State team will make the playoffs. But moving on to my team, the Portland Trailblazers. I'm going to have to say they make the playoffs. I think this is the popular opinion that they make the playoffs. They made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. Obviously, Dame, CJ. We got some good additions in the offseason, like we re-signed Rodney Hood. We got Nasir Little in the draft. We got Hassan Whiteside. So what do you think on this?
I know I love to hate on your Trailblazers and your Cleveland Browns. I love to hate on the teams that you like, but I have to agree with you. I think the Trailblazers are a very, very good team. They're a very underrated team. I definitely think also you have to see Yusef Nurkic is coming back. He was a key player for them last year. And it sucked that he got injured. I feel like they would have done better against the Warriors if he was not injured. And you had to play Enes Kanter a lot, who is known to not be the greatest defensive player in basketball.
And now he's on the Celtics.
Yeah. So, yes, I do think the Trailblazers will make the playoffs, obviously. Dame and CJ, I don't think they're arguably. I think they're definitely a top five backcourt in the NBA. I do worry a lot with CJ and Dame's defense, but I do think Dame's scoring is out of this world. You can't even compare to it. Like, he is that type of player. I do think that Damian Lillard is a player who can lead a team to a championship. I just don't know if they can make it to the finals this year. I think there's too many teams ahead of them, but I definitely think that they will make the playoffs.
Yeah. So moving on to mostly East teams, there's still one West team. But the East is obviously not as loaded as the West this year. So, I mean, it's easy. Worst teams are going to be making the playoffs. But let's start off which many would say is the best young core in the NBA, and that's the Atlanta Hawks with Trae Young, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, Kevin Huerter. That's an incredible young core. And I'm going to say they do get the 8th seed this year. DeAndre Hunter is obviously incredible defense. John Collins and Trae Young, one of the best young duos in the league. Cam Reddish, even though he's a streaky shooter, I think he could be a bust. He still has a lot of potential. So do you think this Hawks team will make the playoffs?
Look, I love what the Hawks did. They took a gamble on the draft. They traded up, and they basically gave the Pelicans a great center in Jackson Hayes, pretty much.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I think they could have definitely used him. But bottom line, I do like the Cam Reddish pickup. I think that this team reminds me of the Golden State Warriors, which is this is what everyone's saying. They're kind of copy the Golden State Warriors. But just listen. Trae Young reminds a lot of people about Steph Curry. I love Trae Young. I don't think the hate around him last year was well-deserved, and then he showed them in the second half of the season. I think he should have won Rookie of the Year over Luka Doncic. That is just my opinion. Kevin Huerter is a great young shooter. I definitely think if he grows more, he can definitely be a great player. DeAndre Hunter reminds me a lot of Draymond Green and a lot of people with Draymond Green. He's an amazing I think he's the best defensive player in the draft other than Zion, I think. And it's just interesting. I just don't think this team is ready yet. You got to give them time. Like, people overhype these teams when they're so young, and then when they don't do well, people just hate on them. I just say give them time. I don't think they make the playoffs this year, but I think if you just give them time, they will be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, let's go up to the state of Michigan and one of the best front courts in the NBA, and that is the Detroit Pistons with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. They did make the playoffs last year. They got destroyed by Giannis and the Bucks. And I think they're going to slip in again this year because I'm a huge Blake Griffin fan. I think he's an incredible player on that team. He reinvented his whole game. He's one of the few all-stars in NBA history to reinvent his whole game. So I do think the Pistons will get into the playoffs.
The Detroit Pistons, I feel like, are in the worst position in the NBA. They have
no man's island,
no cap space. They have an average team. They're not getting good draft picks. Mostly the rookies that they've gotten have not looked very good. Reggie Jackson is not a good point guard. They brought in Derrick Rose, who I do think can give you some quality minutes. I just don't think he's the same D. Rose back in 2011. A sad story. It's just, I think they will make the playoffs because of this weak and decent conference. But let's be honest, they're not going anywhere in the playoffs. They're getting bounced in the first round.
Okay, I have to ask you this. There was a lot of trade rumors of Russell Westbrook to the Pistons. If the Pistons pulled the trigger on that trade, would they have been title contenders?
No, they would not have been title contenders. Russell Westbrook does not make your team a title contender. That's why we're saying that the Rockets are not title contenders. Because we know that Russell Westbrook is not – we've seen him and Paul George. They haven't even been making it out of the first round. It's crazy. Russell Westbrook has not been able to make it out of the first round since Kevin Durant left the team. I don't think Russell Westbrook makes your team a better team than it is at this moment, especially with the Pistons. I just don't think – I'm a huge Russell Westbrook supporter. I love what he does. I love the energy. He's one of the hardest playing players in this league. Every time he takes the floor, he's going to give 150% effort. I just don't think he makes your team a title contender.
Okay. At the end of the day, I think the Rockets, like a bold prediction, are going to be a six seed again, like what the Thunder have been. But the Rockets, I think Clint Capela is a better center than Steven Adams, and I think Eric Gordon's a better player than anybody else the Thunder had on their roster except for Westbrook, Paul George, and Steven Adams. So I do think this Rockets team does have a better chance of making the playoffs, making the second round of the playoffs, than this Thunder team did. And even though James Harden, people say Paul George is a better playoff player than James Harden, overall, like I would say 90% of NBA fans say that James Harden is overall better player than Paul George, despite the defense. Despite Paul George being better on defense, most people say James Harden is better overall. But moving on to the next team, it is another East team. It's the Miami Heat. I'm just going to say it real quick. Yes, Jimmy Butler is an incredible, incredible player. Goran Dragic was an all-star literally only a year ago. And even though they did lose Josh Richardson, I'm a huge fan of this Miami Heat team. I like Justice Winslow. I like all of those guys. I think the Heat will make the playoffs.
I don't know. Miami's a blah team. They either go on these really hot streaks and they'll make the playoffs, or they'll just flame out at the end of the season. I don't really know. I think they do end up making the playoffs just because of Jimmy Butler being a great talent. But on the flip side, Miami has had some big off seasons or some players that they bring in, and it doesn't especially work out for them. We saw how that worked out when they gave Hassan Whiteside that huge contract. They thought he was going to be that star of the team, and we all know what that turned into. Jimmy Butler, I don't really know, because I feel like Jimmy Butler doesn't work for a lot of teams because of his mentality. I don't know how he's going to gel with Miami's players. I do think, though, that it will work out and they will make the playoffs, but I don't see them as title contenders.
Yeah, so moving on to the next team, that's the Orlando Magic. I'm going to have to say no. I already said yes to enough East teams. I think it was bad that the Magic re-signed Nikola Vucevic. They should give Mo Bamba his, like, minutes and his try to get his true potential out of him, his true shot-blocking potential, his true overall game potential out of him. So even though they've made the playoffs last year, I don't think they're making it this year.
The Orlando Magic are one of the most underrated teams in the NBA. Nobody saw them getting into the playoffs last year. Nobody expected them to be any good last year, but they showed up. Nikola Vucevic was an all-star last year. Just because you have some young
center waiting. What did he do in the playoffs, bud?
He won a game. That's what he did.
DJ Augustine won a game, not Nikola Vucevic.
Well, Nikola Vucevic brought them to the playoffs. So that's what he did. Nikola Vucevic was an all-star last year.
Our last team, and we're going back to the West. it's a borderline playoff team, and that is the Sacramento Kings with De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. What do you think?
Well, you saw me on the last podcast, and you know how big of a supporter I am of the Sacramento Kings. I think that that young core is one of the most underrated young cores in the entire NBA. I feel like De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield are one of the most underrated backcourts in the NBA. You have to just sit back and be like, I don't understand how people can underrate this team. They have quality players throughout the entire team. There's Bogdanovich, who's a great young scorer. I feel like he's perfect as their sixth man. I feel like De'Aaron Fox is the star of this team, and Buddy Hield is very close to being a star player of this team. And Harrison Barnes, there's not a lot of players who can average 20 points a game every night. And Harrison Barnes can do that for you. He's proven that he can do that.
Sorry, bud, but I'm saying no, because the West is loaded. I already have my 8 set for the West. The Warriors, the Pelicans, the Rockets, the Jazz.
Pelicans ain't making no playoffs.
The Lakers, the Clippers, and the Nuggets.
You overrate the Pelicans too much.
I already got my 8 set for the West. And at the end of the day, they overpaid Harrison Barnes. They lost Willie Cauley-Stein, who was a
decent center. Willie Cauley-Stein wasn't even that good.
He was a good pickup for the Warriors. There's no doubt about that. Then, I'm not saying the Kings are making the playoffs just because of the load of West. If they're in the East, maybe, but not in the West. So, moving on to our third topic, did you know, surprising sports facts, this is a quick segment where we just say surprising sports facts. So did you know Andrew Wiggins is the leading scorer of the Timberwolves in the 2010s over Kevin Love and Karl-Anthony Towns, and is the second leading scorer in Minnesota Timberwolves history after Kevin Garnett? So, Sam, how do you feel about this one? Because everybody's hating on Wiggins, and he's the second leading scorer in Timberwolves history.
Well, I mean, he has shown that he is quite a stat padder, so you can see. He loves to get his stats. I can't underestimate his talent. I know he has the great talent, and we've seen it. I just don't think he translates to winning basketball. I don't think people question his talent. He doesn't seem like he wants to win. It seems like he wants to just get his stats going. I just think he doesn't translate to winning basketball.
Yeah, and even though Wiggins is getting hated, he's not a complete bust. You guys just overhyped him in the high school. He's not a bust. The man he's a 19 points per game career scorer. I think anybody would take that out of the number one spot. I think anybody would. So at the end of the day, Andrew Wiggins is just getting overhyped just because maybe he doesn't have the highest work ethic. But I would draft a 19 points per game scorer at number one if I knew he was going to do that. Obviously, if like a guy like Kevin Durant was in the draft, then obviously if I knew that, I would take him. But at the end of the day, Andrew Wiggins is getting overhated. So then I have to ask you a question, Sam. I want to test your knowledge or make a knowledgeable guess here. Who is the only player to lead a team in every major stat in terms of the total amount of that stat on while they're playing for the team this decade? So let me just make this more clear for you. So points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Who has the most total? Okay, hold up. No. This is hard explaining, guys. But who has the most total amount of each stat on the same team? But there only one player leads a team in all 5 stats: points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Total amount of that stat in a decade. How about what's your guess?
On one team?
Yeah, on one team. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks.
It's a challenging one because I have
the total amount of that in the 2010s.
I have 3 on my brain right now that I'm trying to think of, and I think I'm gonna go with LeBron James with this one.
LeBron James and the Cavs?
Yes.
Well, I don't think Tristan Thompson leads the Cavs in a total amount of rebounds, and I don't think. Yeah, so that's wrong. So it's a weird one, but we're going to Sacramento with DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins, that's the one I was thinking of, yep. Because
that's the answer. I was sorry, guys, for the whole thing. It was hard to explain. But let's move back to yes or no. These are sports players that are hated on by the media and or a group of like players hated on by the media. And It's yes or no, and we have to say, are they disrespected? Are they deserving of being disrespected? Or shouldn't, or are, like, is there disrespected, like, are they, do they not deserve to be disrespected? So, let's move on to Russell Westbrook. Do you think he deserves all his disrespect or no?
No, I don't think he does. I'm a huge Russell Westbrook fan. I don't think he deserves the hype. Yes, there was evidence that he was stat padding through his triple-double year, but he was literally carrying that team by his on his shoulders the entire year. If you look at the stats with him on the floor during that year versus when he was not on the floor, Oklahoma was the worst team in the league when he was not on the floor during that year. And then once Paul George came, no one really knows it. He sacrificed his game just to play for Paul George. He was not the leading scorer on that team. Paul George was the best player on that team. Russell Westbrook sacrificed his shots and his minutes to just give Paul George the most amount of shots that he could take.
Yeah, so Russell Westbrook's career, Kyrie Irving's career kind of reminds me of his, because like, they're both guys who played with terrific small forwards, obviously Kevin Durant and LeBron James. Then they left, and they really haven't had true success in the playoffs. So well, speaking of Kyrie Irving, let's move on to Kyrie Irving. Do you think he's disrespected or not disrespected? By the way, I think Russell Westbrook deserves his disrespect. I think he does. Do you think Kyrie Irving deserves his disrespect?
It's an interesting one. Kyrie's a weird dude. He did say a whole thing about it, the earth is flat and there's all that drama. I'm not going to get into that. Kyrie Irving, we don't know the full story. I don't think that he was the reason that the Celtics were not good. I think he gets undeserved hate for making the Celtics not good. You heard what Marcus Smart said about Kyrie Irving when he was on The Jump. He basically explained that Kyrie Irving was not the only reason that the Celtics were not good. The Celtics, a lot of things went wrong for them that year. Most of it, I feel like, is on Brad Stevens because of how he tried to get Gordon Hayward into the lineup. I think that messed up a lot of things because this was a team that pushed the Cavaliers to games, was in one game of going to the NBA Finals against the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2 years ago.
Brad Stevens is a very, very good coach, in my opinion. I think when he was with Butler, even though he got Gordon Hayward, yes, he had Gordon Hayward, but they still made it to a national championship. When he left Butler, Butler did not make the college basketball tournament this past year. I do think Kyrie does deserve his respect, his disrespect, because Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving, they both have hateable or likable personalities, depending, and they both kind of are just against the media. Well, not totally. Well, Russell Westbrook hates the media and stuff like that, so that's why you hate him. And Kyrie Irving really hasn't proved himself. He's kind of proved himself to be a little bit of a ball hog. So I already know your answer on this next one. Do you think Daniel Jones deserves his disrespect?
Daniel Jones, I think that Dave Gettleman deserves the disrespect for Daniel Jones. I don't think Daniel Jones deserves any towards him. He's got to understand, the hate that he gets isn't necessarily directed towards him. He doesn't deserve any of this hate. You can't blame him for getting pick six overall. I feel like he's a great talent. I feel like he will be the Giants' star quarterback. I have plenty of faith in Daniel Jones. I just don't understand why Dave Gettleman it's not even the Haskins thing. I understand why not taking on Haskins. I'm not a huge believer in Haskins. I'm just saying, you have one of the best defensive players in the draft fall into your lap because of Oakland and Josh Allen, and you don't take him. And when you knew that Daniel Jones, you could have got him at 17 or even the second round. But who knows? Because I'm just going to say, like, if you – I'm going to trust Dave Gettleman right here.
That's everybody.
If you think that he's going to be a star quarterback, if you really believe in him, then go ahead. Take him at 6 because you don't want anyone taking him.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, that's everybody I know's problem. They could have taken him at 17.
But you don't know that.
Yeah, obviously. But at the end of the day, Gettleman, he did everything that he was supposed to do, even though Gettleman's a terrible, terrible GM. But at the end of the day, Daniel Jones, he doesn't deserve his disrespect But now he doesn't deserve his respect either. It was one perfect drive in the preseason, so people are overhyping him. But before, and like when the draft was happening, Daniel Jones obviously didn't deserve the disrespect. Gettleman did. So I think Daniel Jones is getting overhated. But moving on to Carmelo Anthony, do you think he deserves his disrespect?
It's interesting. Carmelo Anthony, people say he chose money over winning and all these things. I don't know if he deserves his disrespect, because there's a lot of things that are false, that narratives that are explained with Carmelo Anthony. I understand why he chose the money over winning. Who wouldn't choose max contract, just for that? But I respect Carmelo Anthony because he's the only star that's wanted to be with New York. He loved in New York. He was embraced in New York. I feel like he doesn't deserve all the hate because he was the only reason that that team – he was the reason that that team was good during his prime.
I mean, at the end of the day, Melo admitted himself that he could have had a big three with LeBron and D-Wade, but he was immature. We all know that Chris Paul, Melo, LeBron, D-Wade, they're good friends. But at the end of the day, Melo wanted the ball. That's another part. He wanted to be a ball hog, so I do think he deserves his disrespect. I think he should be on an NBA team right now. I don't think he should be a free agent, but he does deserve his disrespect. So now moving on to the next group of people, actually. People are saying that, this is costing the team the World Series. And that is the Yankees pitching rotation. Do they deserve your disrespect?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, you know, people on the show, Joe knows this. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I am the biggest Yankee fan you could ever meet. And, oh, my goodness, people need – I understand the starting rotation is not perfect, but you need to understand some things. One, if you looked at the trade deadline, you know what Arizona was asking for Robbie Ray? Do you know what they were asking for? They were asking for Clint Frazier and three top 10 prospects in the Yankees organization. No smart GM would ever do that. I don't know what GMs in the MLB do these days, but I would not accept that trade. You weren't going to get Greinke either way. The Yankees were on Greinke's no trade clause list. He wouldn't have gone to New York. He had some anxiety issues, I hear, about playing in big markets and all that stuff. And I feel like Houston was a perfect fit for him. He wasn't going to go to New York. That's simple. He was not going to play for the Yankees. Trevor Bauer, I heard, was – did you see the haul that Cleveland got for Trevor Bauer? The Yankees could not have matched that haul that Cleveland got for Trevor Bauer. It's impossible.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, that Clint Frazier and three top 10 prospects, that seems like something I would give up for Max Scherzer in his prime.
Yes, of course.
It's overpaying.
People gotta understand. Severino's going to come.
The Yankees are missing Stanton. They're missing Giancarlo Stanton, who's one of the best players.
The Yankees are tied for the best record in the MLB. Their starting rotation, people say, is awful. Okay, let me tell you this. Masahiro Tanaka has shown that even though he hasn't had the greatest season, he can ball in the playoffs. He has not had one horrible postseason start in his career. You're going to get Severino back. We're going to get him back. And he is an ace. He is our ace. Domingo Germán has shown that he is a potential ace of this Yankee team. He's been our best pitcher all year. James Paxton has been shaky, but it's not like James Paxton has been awful all year round. You see his potential and what he can do. He is a potential ace starting pitcher. This Yankees rotation is very underrated. I'm going to ignore Jay Happ because I have just given up on him.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy because
One more thing. The Yankees don't need their starters to go 7-9 innings. They have the best bullpen in the entire major league, and they're about to get Dellin Betances back. Do you know how deadly this bullpen is? The starters only really need to go 5 innings, and even then, they might even use an opener in the playoffs.
I mean, the bullpen isn't the greatest. Like, my friend Gregory Mazzo ranted on how bad Adam Ottavino is.
Oh, Adam Ottavino, what are you talking about? Adam Ottavino has under a 2 ERA. He's been one of the best relievers this year.
Okay, no. Don't let, he only ranted on him because he choked in that one game. But at the end of the day, listen to me. It's crazy because we had Sonny, like, when we had Sonny Gray, when he was pitching off for us, he literally couldn't throw a strike. He was too worried on making it precise. But at the end of the day, if we had James Paxton and Sonny Gray 1 year before they actually came to us, we would have been freaking out. James Paxton was a 90 overall in MLB The Show 18 or something.
Oh, what? You're gonna use that as an argument now? You're gonna use ratings in a video?
Okay, game? I'm not gonna use that. I'm just saying. But the Yankees pitching rotation, obviously. I mean, if they had a really, really good one, they would obviously win the World Series. But at the end of the day,
they can still win the World Series.
They can still win the World Series, and at the end of the day, they shouldn't overpay for a pitcher. So, I mean, they're kind of disrespect, they're kind of deserving of disrespect, but not really. They're moving on to a man who people are saying is not even a top five running back or top three, in my opinion, he's not a top three running back anymore. And they're saying he's not going to be the same ever again with his injuries, and that's Todd Gurley. Do you think he deserves his disrespect?
I don't think Todd Gurley deserves his disrespect. Actually, let's reiterate that. I'm sorry. Todd Gurley definitely does deserve his disrespect. Todd Gurley has not shown up at any way in the playoffs. Do you know who was when the Rams won that game in Dallas in that divisional playoff game? Who was their star running back? Who carried the load at the running back position? I want to hear you answer this one.
CJ Anderson?
Yes, CJ Anderson. CJ Anderson carried that running back.
CJ Anderson was a good running back on the Denver Broncos.
Yes, but he is not better than Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley did not show any life at any point in those playoffs. Todd Gurley has not proven to me that he can be trusted as a star running back. I don't even think he's top five running back. He is just not shown anything.
It doesn't matter nonetheless. Jared Goff is not a quarterback who can win the Super Bowl. And at the end of the day, I do think Todd Gurley is deserve his disrespect. But I don't think he's getting any disrespect. Sorry that you're going to be pissed off at me again because of ratings, but he was the highest-rated running back in Madden 20 over Saquon and Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, my God.
How is that possible? I know it's part of EA being stupid, but people are still, taking Todd Gurley 6th overall in fantasy. I don't know if he should go that high. I think there's Hopkins. I think there's Kamara. I think there's McCaffrey. I think there's Zeke. There's Saquon. There's so many better players than him to take. I think Todd Gurley is – I don't think he's getting any disrespect. But I think if he did get disrespect, he does deserve it. But let's move on to two debates here. And so we're going to do a little bit of debating. And first is which – sports organization, the four major sports, NHL, NBA, NFL, and MLB, is the best run sports organization.
I definitely think it's complicated. I feel like it's between two, and that's the NBA and the MLB. We all know the controversy surrounding the NHL. I don't want to go into that right now, and we all know everything about it. I think everyone knows about what's going on with the NFL these days. I'm gonna say that the MLB is the best run organization because there is some drama here and there with the NBA. When have you ever seen there's been alarming drama in the MLB? There, when was that point? I will like people to look that up and see because there hasn't been. There hasn't been any significant drama that's been boiling up that makes people say, oh my goodness, the MLB is the worst run organization. They're a model organization. It's America's pastime. I just don't think that there's any organization or sport that can rival the consistency of no drama than the MLB.
Yeah, so I think it's clearly the NBA, in my opinion. Because let's talk. The NHL. Who the hell, if you're not from Canada or you're for some weird reason, you're a hockey fan in the U.S.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
What are you talking about? You just disrespected every single hockey fan.
Okay. No disrespect to hockey fans. But it's the least popular of the major sport. That's what I'm trying to explain. And at the end of the day, hockey, obviously there's a lot of drama, like you said. And
hockey fans, I got your back.
Even
here.
We learned from pro sports people when we were going to sports broadcasting thing, we literally heard from pro sports people that the NHL wasn't going in a good direction. Exactly. I don't think it's one of the best run sports organizations. Now let's move on to the NFL with the whole national anthem drama. The XFL, Vince McMahon's company, the XFL, is literally a competitor to the NFL now. The NFL had competitors. People don't want to watch because of this whole national anthem drama. There's a lot of drama surrounding the NFL overall. And then you got divas in the sport, like Antonio Brown, who complained about their helmets. And I, even though it's not the NFL's fault, I don't think it's the greatest run sports organization. The only thing that the NFL has going for it is that the Super Bowl is the biggest event of the year. But people, so a lot of people don't even watch regular season. They just watch the Super Bowl. Then moving on to the MLB. The MLB, it's not as appealing to the millennials anymore. It's not as appealing. It's a slow sport. It's a slow sport. I mean, I'm not the biggest MLB fan in the world. And, I mean, mostly it's because it's a slow sport. I'm a huge NFL and NBA fan. But the NBA, it would be clear number one. If it wasn't clear to me already, it would be clear number one if they got rid of the one-and-done rule. But at the end of the day, the NBA, again, the regular season isn't crazy amount watched, but at the end of the day, the playoffs is watched a lot. And plus, it's just everybody wants to talk about the NBA, it just feels like. Everybody wants to talk about it. So I do think that's the best-run sports organization. But moving on to another debate, I thought this would be really cool in my head. Who's more impactful to their sport, Yogi Berra or Bill Russell? Two greats in their own respective sports.
Can you repeat the question?
Who's more impactful into the history of their sport, Yogi Berra or Bill Russell?
I think I'm going to have to say Bill Russell here because I don't hear a lot of people talking about Yogi Berra in the MLB. But I do know that Bill Russell's brought up a lot. Well, the finals MVP is the Bill Russell finals MVP. He has won the most championships of any player. He won 11 championships. And people like to say, like, Russell is the greatest winner of all time, even though that's completely overrated. There was only 8 teams in the league, and he won the majority of his finals in that league. I think Bill Russell definitely is because people bring up his name more, but these are two players that, like, not a lot of people bring up their names a lot in conversations.
Exactly. Listen to me. I did a lot of research on this because I'm saying it's Yogi Berra. I mean, maybe it's more impactful. I definitely think Yogi Berra is a better overall player. Maybe he might not be as impactful. But listen to these facts. Yogi Berra, in his first year, which is 1946, the MLB had 16 teams. And in his last year, 1963, they had 20 teams. And he won 13 titles in 18 years. And Bill Russell, he played from 1956 to 1969.
You're comparing a basketball player and a baseball player.
I know. It's weird, but it's a debate. It's a debate. He won 11 titles in 13 years, but in his first year, there were 8 teams, and in his final year in NBA career, there's only 14 teams. So Yogi Berra, in his first year, the MLB had more teams than Bill Russell in his final year.
We're not talking about who the better player. We're not talking about who the better player was. You asked who was the most impactful player to their league. The answer is Bill Russell. Okay, I want to ask you something. When you're bringing up MLB, like, greats, who are you? You're never going to bring up Yogi Berra's name and impactful and who shaped the league. You're going to bring up Bill Russell's name.
Because he played with a good I might say Bill Russell's more impactful. I'm just listing stats. He played with, like, a lot of great, great players.
So did Yogi Berra.
So it evens out there. They both played with great legends. They both played on great, great teams. But at the end of the day, Yogi Berra is a better winner than Bill Russell. But more impactful, I guess people would say Bill Russell is very, very good. But Bill Russell does have a lot of competitors at center all time. I think Yogi Berra also has competitors at catcher all time. But Bill Russell has Wilt, he has Kareem to compete with. So I do think Bill Russell might be a little bit more impactful. But I just wanted to say those stats about Yogi and Bill Russell, even though it's a weird, weird debate. So, moving on to our last two topics of the podcast, we have the first pick in fantasy basketball. And I will say mine real quick. It is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo should go first overall in any fantasy basketball draft. He gives you rebounds. He gives you assists. He gives you points. And he gives you everything you need. He gives you stuff on the defensive side of the ball. And even in most mock drafts, they're already ranking Giannis at number one. Sure, James Harden, if you have James Harden on your team, you're going to be good in the scoring category, like, for sure, 100%. But at the end of the day, if you have Giannis, I think he gives you everything. Plus, he's a reigning MVP, so I do think he should be the number one overall pick.
I'm going to go on a little bit of a high note here. This is a player who's going to have to carry his team the majority of the season, and that is going to be Steph Curry. Steph Curry. You don't even know. Look, Steph Curry, I feel like this is the most challenging year of Steph Curry's career. He doesn't have his splash brother in Klay Thompson. Draymond's suspect. We don't know what he's going to do. D'Angelo Russell's new to the team. We don't know what he's going to do. But we do know that Steph Curry is going to ball out this year. I feel like he's going to average over 30 points a game this year. I think he's going to carry his team the most that he can. And I feel like he's going to get you the most fantasy points possible.
All righty. At the end of the day, I think Steph Curry should be a top five pick, guaranteed. Obviously, then I think AD should also be a top five pick because fantasy is not like really the best players. Like, Kawhi is only supposed to be drafted like 6th or 7th. LeBron's supposed to be drafted 10th or 11th, I think, even. So, I mean, yeah, fantasy basketball, not even about the best players. But moving on to our last topic, it's called rankings. So I have a group of 5 players, and I have a group of 4 players that all fit into a specific category, and you're supposed to rank them from worst to best, so technically, I guess, on their skill or whatever. So I'm doing QBs in this draft, this past draft, of how productive their career will be. So the 5 QBs that I have are Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock, and Will Greer. Rank all their careers from worst to best.
From worst to best. I'm going to go for worst, I'm going to go with Will Greer.
Agree 100% on that one.
Because who did he get? I'm going to just listen to you. Who did he get drafted by?
The Carolina Panthers. And he's
exactly going to back up. Yes. And he's going to back up who?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton is very young still. I think Cam Newton's going to play another 10 years in this league. And what's Will Greer going to do? Like, where is he going to play? Okay, after Will Greer,
Cam Newton is injury prone, so he could get a starting spot eventually.
Maybe. For number 4, I'm going to say Dwayne Haskins. Because I don't trust Dwayne Haskins. Had one good year at Ohio State where he had 50 touchdowns. But I don't think that Dwayne Haskins was one of the most overrated quarterbacks in this draft. It was also the fact that he was probably one of the only quarterbacks in the draft. There was not a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. And I'm just going to say that Dwayne Haskins is not going to have the greatest career. I don't think that the Washington Redskins are a good team for him. You don't have to destroy.
Last year, yeah, it's a small quarterback draft because there was 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round last year.
Number 3, I'm going to say, is Drew Lock, because I don't trust – because as we've seen throughout the year, the Broncos can't develop quarterbacks. How many quarterbacks – they had Paxton Lynch, who they took in the first round. What has he done? They had Trevor Siemian, had like a good half of the year.
Who's taking like the 7th, 6th round?
Case Keenum was signed. What did he do? He was not good. Now they have Joe Flacco. It's just not a good quarterback like that. Peyton Manning was not the reason that they won that Super Bowl. The defense was the reason that they won that Super Bowl. Von Miller was the reason they won that Super Bowl. Number 2, I'm going to go with my boy Daniel Jones, because I feel like he was the most underrated pick. I feel this is the most hated pick. He does not deserve any of that hate. I think that Daniel Jones is a great young quarterback. I think that he's very calm and he reads defense as well. I think that he's going to have a very, very great career. I think he's going to be the future of the Giants. And then number 1, I'm going to say Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray reminds me so much of Russell Wilson. I think he's probably going to have maybe even the same career as Russell Wilson. We're not going to say that, but I think that Kyler Murray is going to be, once Kyler Murray hits his ceiling, he's going to be arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. He's that great. Yeah.
Listen to me. Will Greer is number 5. Will Greer is last, no doubt. Coming at number 4, I'm putting Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones, of course. Hating.
Was he even projected to be like a top 3 quarterback?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Yes, maybe he was. But at the end of the day, the Giants are going to take him at 6. He doesn't have the strongest arm. And even though he's calm, I don't
What do you mean he doesn't have the strongest arm? Did you see the preseason?
Yes, I saw the perfect drive. One preseason game against the Jets backups. That doesn't matter. That legit doesn't matter when Sam Darnold marched down the field and he literally scored on the Giants starters. So at the end of the day, I do think Daniel Jones will come in at number four. I think Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins, and Kyler Murray, I can flip this order whenever, but I think all three will lead their team to a playoff.
Drew Lock?
Yes, I'm a believer in Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock should get the starting job eventually. John Elway did a great job this draft. A great job.
Was Drew Lock even a first-round pick this year? Like,
no, he was picked second, but I was legit waiting. I was watching draft night, that draft night. I was waiting, when is Drew Lock going to get picked in my head? Because he didn't go in the first round. It was surprising. Drew Lock is an incredible, incredible player. Did you see him at Mizzou? He's a good quarterback. I do think I'm going to take the safe bet. I'm going to put Haskins and Murray ahead of him. I'm putting Kyler Murray at two. I think
Dwayne Haskins number one. You got to be kidding me. Just end. I'm done. I can't listen.
Okay,
to
no,
this
no, okay, okay, okay. Just because he did the college like thing. Just because he didn't play a lot of college games, I do think he has potential. But let's move on to our last ranking before we end the podcast, and that is point guards. These four guys are heavily, easily considered the top four point guards in the NBA. So I want you to rank them because there's a lot of different rankings. And it's Curry, Dame, Kyrie, and Russ. How do you rank them?
Number four, I'm going Russ. I don't think that Russ is better than any of these players, I have to say. I just don't think that he is. He doesn't translate a lot to winning. I just don't think he's better than these players. Number three, I'm going to go with Kyrie Irving. Similar situation to Russ. I don't know what he can do. He can't carry a team by himself. He's got to be with somebody else. And I think that him and KD will be actual title contenders in Brooklyn once KD does come back. Number two, I'm going to go with your boy, Damian Lillard. And I don't think – if you put Damian Lillard over Steph Curry, I can't understand why you would ever do that. Steph Curry is the greatest shooting point guard. No, he's not even the greatest shooting point guard. He's the greatest shooter of all time. I don't care about Ray Allen. I don't care – about other players
okay,
like
bro,
this.
First of all, before I make my argument, don't think just because I say this, I'm putting Dame over Curry. He's the greatest shooter of all time, but he's not the greatest 40-foot shooter of all time. Shooting from 40 feet, I don't care.
He did it once.
Shooting from 40? No. From 35-plus feet, Damian Lillard shot 39%.
He took, like, two shots. Season.
No, he shot many from back there. He's at 39%.
You can't just Paul say George that somebody's better. You can't shooter. Just say somebody's better because they anybody. Shot from a little
if,
further.
If I want a 40-foot shot with
game okay,
on the line, I'm
if,
picking
if
Dame
you're gonna,
over
if you're going to use that logic, then I'll say then I'm saying Jeremy Lamb is the best shooting guard in the NBA. Like, what are you talking about?
Jeremy Lamb is the best shooting guard in the NBA.
Yeah, he had a half-court shot, so he must be the greatest shooter. He may be the greatest shooter of all time because he hit a half-court shot. That's just your logic.
It's not my logic. He took a lot of attempts. Don't get me wrong. But he shot the same amount as Paul George shot overall from three from 35-plus feet. So I'm just saying that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to have to agree with your rankings, except I'm going to have to switch Kyrie and Russ. Kyrie is number four point guard in the NBA. He's sort of a ball hog. I mean, he's an okay scorer, but he's never been an elite scorer like Kyrie, Russ, and Russ, Dame, and Curry have been. He hasn't been on that scoring level. Plus, Russ averaged a triple-double for three straight seasons, and I'm taking Russ over Kyrie on the defensive side of the ball any day of the week. Then coming at number two is Dame, and coming at number one is Curry. I have to agree with that. But thank you for watching on whatever website you are, on Breaker, on Google Podcasts, on Anchor or on Spotify. So thanks for watching. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for watching.